there are a couple of underestimated time traps that try to steal your time day in, day out. Leading does not mean telling others what to do. Leading means enabling and empowering others to find their own best solutions. Hello and welcome to today's Lightwolf podcast, the podcast for leading with impact. My name is Stefan. I'm your podcast host, and it's my huge pleasure that you're dialing into the Lightwolf podcast again today. Today is about one particular topic that you may already have experienced once in a while. Time pressure. And this podcast is all about the big impact of small changes. How tiny tweaks save lots of time. And based on my experience, based on my observation, when I started in the corporate world at the beginning of my career, money was the scarcest resource we had. While nowadays, I hear more and more people confirming that in their perception, while money still matters, I'm not naive, money does matter. Time has become the scarcer of those two resources. And it's the more valuable resource to protect and save. And there are a couple of underestimated time traps that try to steal your time day in, day out. Let's just elaborate on a few. The first one that I'm aware of is the so-called calendar trap. You make a lot possible because you put more into your calendar and more and more. And if you make too much possible, you make too little effective. And that can become a trap. Many managers do not actively block their calendars. They leave it open to many people to just book their time. I've also repeatedly heard managers and leaders say, "My door is always open." And if they really follow up on this, then the result of this behavior may be that suddenly they run out of time. And they may sometimes feel that their own time belongs to everyone else except themselves. The employee asks you, line manager, a question. And instead of returning the question, you answer it. Well behaved and with good intentions. And you do his work instead of your own work. That's, I think, one of the potential traps trying to steal your time. Another potential trap is called the monkey business trap. Everything is discussed with you. If you clarify every issue yourself, if the team lacks personal responsibility and freedom to decide, then you will lack time. The employee asks you, the line manager, a question, and again, you're tempted to respond. And you train him or her to come back to you and to get good answers from you to his own question or to her own questions, getting the answers from you. And you end up doing their work. The team lacks personal responsibility and you lack time. That's what I call the monkey business trap, i.e. back delegation to you. And a third potential issue and trap could be the so-called micromanagement control trap. Some leaders and some managers, while wanting to give responsibility and freedom away, when push comes to shove, they tend to take it back because they feel a deeply seated need to control what in fact they should hand over to others. So sometimes out of a concern for speed, or sometimes out of concern for quality, some managers take over again themselves instead of empowering others. And that can mean a double loss of time. A loss of time for you and a loss of time for your team. And maybe you have come across more sources of time drain, those small little thieves that want to steal your precious resource. Now, let's swap the page and talk about how do you get out of it. Here are three little tweaks for you to consider. Number one, attitude. Leading means enabling and empowering others. Full stop. Leading does not mean to tell everybody else what to do and how to do it. No. It means to enable and to empower others to find their own best solutions, to find their own best ways. One of the most valuable lessons I learned was across a couple of years and a series of experiences as a leader. At the end of them, I realized most clearly a simple insight. All the potential for great performance is in your partner. And when you are the line manager and you have maybe 3-4 people reporting to you, all potential is in your direct reports. Many precious, great ideas are in your direct reports. Many strong, effective, innovative, efficient solutions to get an outstanding result are in your direct reports. All the growth is in your people. Also, maybe the hesitation, the comfort is in your people. The barrier to this results is in your people. And the best way for them to grow, and as a result of their growth, for your business to grow, is to get it all out of them, to get the potential out of them, to get their ideas out of them, to get the solutions out of them, to get the barriers out and away and removed from them, so that they can grow and contribute their utmost to your common success. But in order to realize all of this, we need to realize that we shouldn't tell people what to do. We need to empower them. We need to authorize them. And we need to delegate responsibility to them so that they can deliver the outstanding ideas and the contributions and the growth that we both are looking for. But it starts with this attitude. Leading does not mean telling others what to do. Leading means enabling and empowering others to find their own best solutions. So that's one little trick, one little tweak. It's not a lot, but it can have massive implications and unleash a lot of value if you manage to consistently take that attitude. Another simple tweak is the following quote. Your time belongs to you. The last time I was surprised by the effect of this little quote was in a workshop. We did a good to great workshop on team productivity with a great group of managers and leaders the other week. My partner Gerlinde Kühe and I had prepared and delivered the workshop. And when we went to concluding after 2 days and did a round of remarks, one of the participants said, "My biggest aha moment was the quote, 'My time belongs to me,'" unquote. I realized that all too often I behave in a way that my time belongs to others, not to myself. Yeah, so that's a big impact from a small thing. Of course, your time belongs to you, but it's sometimes harder. It's more easily said than done. And again, also a philosopher named Seneca, once about 10 years ago, he really took me by surprise. I was in a hospital. I saw a quote on the wall. I was already past it. And I went back and I went like, wow, what a fantastic statement. Seneca, quote, "It's not the little time you have. It's the lot of time you're not using wisely," unquote. And I felt detected. I burst into laughter. I really thought like, gosh, how can this man know me so well? He has been living 2,000 years before me. How come he knows me? I feel the same. Honestly, I sometimes still invest time into things that afterwards I go like, why would I invest there? I also thought about the sentence, I don't have time. I don't have the time right now. If I think about the substance of the sentence, it's actually complete and utter nonsense. Because the amount of time that you and I have is determined before each and every day even starts. It's 24 hours, no more, no less. So the question is not how much time I have. The question is what I decide to invest it into and what I decide not to invest it into. It's my choice because it belongs to me. And I do decide my life. I do decide my time and its investment by the things I decide to do. Once I do them, my time is invested and gone for good. So the sentence, I don't have the time, is just delegating responsibility for my time to the others and to circumstances. I have made a choice to consciously abandon that sentence from my life. And I think you have the right and even the obligation to say, no, you're not always available to others. You're often available, but sometimes you're not. And maybe in certain with reserved time windows, you're only available to really urgent things. But you should reserve some time for yourself to think, to get your work done, right? You should also not necessarily accept every single meeting invitation you receive, because meetings are a huge time investment in many companies. You should not attend, for example, any meeting without a clear goal, without a clear agenda. If you do receive an invitation to a meeting without a goal, I recommend to consider canceling your participation because you don't know what people even want to achieve with this meeting. At least you should pick up the phone and ask the person inviting you why you are invited. Yeah? And sometimes people save a lot of time by clarifying this. Yeah? With a Japanese company years ago, we've done a tailor-made program to help them find their biggest time drains and to stop them. And one of them was meetings. And one of the gentlemen afterwards said, Stefan, you know what? I just did this one little thing. I stopped accepting every invite. I asked, should I go or not? And in one out of four cases, I learned I didn't need to. A simple email from my side or not even attending at all was the better choice. And I saved 3 days a month by just that one thing. So beware, your time belongs to you. Also regarding emails. Emails are a big investor of time. You should write them in a recipient-oriented way. And they should be very brief, not long. As brief as possible. You should also dare to block time. Time for yourself, time with yourself. Time to create, to think, to plan, and plan your time wisely. Do you know your biorhythm? Do you know whether you are an early morning bird or a late night owl? Do you know when your biorhythm is good for good deep thinking in the morning or in the afternoon? We all have our personal biological rhythms, our phases in which we are particularly good at thinking and solving difficult problems. During this time of day, you should block out time for yourself so that you can think. So tip number two, your time belongs to you. And tip number three, avoid monkey business. What is this monkey business? Monkey business means back delegation. Either because you have delegated a responsibility to one of your reports and they politely and in a subtle manner delegated back to you because they ask you to give you the answer. They ask you to do the work. Or sometimes leaders do that monkey business themselves by delegating and then actively taking responsibility back. I recommend avoid both of them. Avoid monkey business. Demand and promote solution orientation. Even in an expectation meeting, in an onboarding meeting. And whenever I onboard a new partner here in the team and we are growing fast, and every year there are more partners with 20 plus years of practical leadership responsibility joining our team here. The next onboarding will happen soon. Whenever I onboard, I take an entire hour for a one-to-one onboarding conversation. And already in this conversation, after half an hour or more, when my role is to listen to my new cooperation partner, I also ask and I share what I expect. And one of the things I do expect from people working in my team is solution orientation. Never bring me a problem without your best solution. It doesn't have to be perfect right away, but it should be your best right now. So always bring solutions together with your problems. And again, a very tiny thing, when you are a manager and you have 6 direct reports and some of them come back to you asking you for the solution for their work, do not reply. Ask a question. For example, dear direct report, great question, but what would you suggest? Huh? What would you suggest? This is one of the tiny tweaks with probably the biggest impact you can have. Because with this one little behavior, you turn responsibility back to the people who have taken over from you. You empower people, you encourage people to speak their mind. And in many, many, many cases, you will be positively surprised about the good idea, maybe great idea that's coming your way. If only you refuse to answer, if only you avoid the monkey business. So that's these 3 little tricks in a nutshell, how big impact can be done with small changes, how tiny tweaks can save a lot of time for others and for you. Tip number 1, attitude. Leading means enabling and empowering others. 2, your time belongs to you. And 3, avoid monkey business. I hope you enjoyed this little podcast about little things with big impact. I can confirm from my career that the impact can be massive, both when I was led as well as when I was leading. It's those little things that can have a massive difference in your impact, in your productivity, and on the development and on the lives of the people you are leading. So I invite you to experiment with the things you like. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if so, then please take your smartphone right now, take your Spotify account, your iTunes, or your alternative streaming account for podcasts and subscribe to this podcast now. Because this way you won't miss any further episode. We are publishing a new piece of leadership expertise and advice every single week here in the podcast. And finally, I'd like to invite you for a little survey on the topic of small changes with big impact in your organization. It will not take you more than half a minute. So if you could please join, give us your quick answers to those simple survey questions. It'll help the whole community learn from your experience. Thank you very much for your time today. Looking forward to next time. Stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy. See you next time. Bye-bye.